Is that JP?
And what's going on, Shane?
Man, I have lost my voice, so I apologize if you can't hear me.
Do you want to reschedule?
No, you're fine. It's been like this for a while, but how are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing good, buddy. I can't complain. I'm watching a big fire over by my house, but other than that, we're doing all right.
Well, welcome to the Looney Dad Podcast. Well, I'm excited to have you as a guest. You're my third guest on the podcast. And so I'm really looking forward to, you know, getting on this topic. And I felt like you're the perfect example for this topic.
Well, I appreciate it, buddy. Man, we haven't seen each other in quite a while. I know your life is kind of all over the place for a while, doing some new work and new schooling and everything. And now you're back with your family and all those kind of good things. So I'm very excited to be on your podcast. I didn't know you were rolling one, so I'm excited to start listening to it too. I really like what you're doing.
Well, I'm starting a new, I'm starting a new business plan, and part of this was the podcast, but I wanted to create a podcast that was about fathers. I don't feel there's a podcast that is solely related to to fathers. And I wanted to really be that different podcast. And I feel like things as fathers that, you know, I can reach on topics to really help other fathers and support them through their times.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I don't know any podcasts that are out there that are, like you said, really dealing with fatherhood and those kind of things. So I think you're on the right track. What is your business that you're starting? What's the full outlook?
So it is coaching, but it's not just like personal training. It's life coaching. It's business coaching, career coaching, sales coaching, all types of coaching to help people with inadequacies in their life. And so I follow a model of I call it the wheel of wellness. And there's like 7 aspects of our health. And so I reach out to people and talk with them about where they feel their problems are and help them to relate what area of the life is affecting and how to help them come up with strategies to improve that area to find a better balance for their life.
Well, it sounds like you've been talking to a lot of people because you kind of lost your voice there.
I have. So anyways, I want, you know, for a second for the podcast listeners to, you know, get to know who you are, kind of your background, where you're from, what makes you an awesome person, an awesome dad.
Okay, sounds good, man. Well, my name is JP Penskover. I live in Phoenix, Arizona right now. I say right now because I just, you know, I really feel like I never know where the Lord is going to lead us. We just want to be obedient to his call. That's how I live my life, and that's how we ended up in Phoenix. But both my wife and I, we grew up in Mauston, Wisconsin, small little town in Wisconsin, and had a, you know, great life. But I went through some challenges growing up, you know, had divorced parents. And as you talk fatherhood, I grew up with a great dad. And then I ended up, my mom got remarried. And so I also have a great stepdad. So I was blessed, had 2 great grandfathers. And I think I was super, super blessed because I had, a grandpa on each side that were both just incredible men. So I've always been surrounded by really good men. And I'm fortunate that way. But I grew up like, you know, probably so many other people did in a small town, just loving family, loving sports, loving the outdoors. I absolutely am crazy about the outdoors. I love being fishing. I love hunting more than I probably should. As I grew up, things kind of went a little bit sideways in the town that we grew up. And I'm just going to be transparent, Shane, as I share this. As I grew up and, you know, got a little bit older, got into high school, alcohol was crazy. I mean, from parents drinking to all our coaches drinking to just a lot of alcohol. And my path in life didn't really go so great because I really fell into that category in a young age, really drinking every weekend and partying, chasing girls, all that kind of stuff. And had multiple girlfriends, you know, never was really ready to settle down. I went to college because that's what my brother did. And the wrestling coach is like, hey, you should come to this college. So I'm like, okay, I really didn't have any plans for my life or what I wanted to do. All I wanted to do was party. And so I kind of didn't make it in college real well. I had a real short stint in college and started working and got into the workforce, worked at a plumbing store, then became a steam fitter, had a great little business. I left that just real discontent And I think a lot of times, you know, back then I didn't have any faith. I didn't have, you know, I never sought the Lord. And so I was really just kind of like a floating in the wind, so to speak, and ended up leaving the one job. I bought a business, a septic pumping portable toilet rental business. And as I was doing that, I also got introduced to a nutrition company. And, you know, at 24 years old, I started to get around some really, really high caliber men. And fathers and dads and businessmen. And it really started to shape and mold my life and ended up being part of this company for a long time, a nutrition company. Really, really liked it. Loved it. As a matter of fact, it was an incredible business for our lives and in our future. And found the Lord at 26 years old. My wife and I, who we grew up together, her name is Angela. We grew up together and had a rocky go at the start because neither of us, you know, had faith and, you know, we partied a lot and did that. And it's just not very conducive for a good family, but we cleaned all that up and changed all that. And we ended up getting married in 2003. And, man, it's just been incredible since, you know, our life has taken a lot of roller coasters. 1 year ago, let me back up a little bit more, you know, by 35 years old, we had a business going that was just continuing to grow and, man, just really setting us up to live a life that we just had only dreamed about. So we were literally living like a retired life. We were working part-time in this business and it was continuing to grow all the way up to seven-figure income. And we ended up visiting Phoenix, Arizona. My wife was tired of the winter and we visited Phoenix, Arizona in March of 2013. And by July of that year, we'd moved out here. We uprooted. We had three children by the time that came along. At that time, we had an 8-year-old, 6-year-old, and a 4-year-old, 8-year-old boy, 6-year-old daughter, and a 4-year-old boy. And I have absolutely fallen in love with being a dad. Just, you know, I fail at it miserably a lot of times, but, you know, hopefully my kids will have grace on me because I always tell my oldest, I'm like, hey, you're our oldest, man. You're the one that we're figuring it out on. So I apologize if we blow it every once in a while, but we have great three amazing children. They're well-mannered. They're such good kids. So I know at least my wife is doing something right anyway, but we moved out to Arizona. And then, you know, a year and a half ago, we got a phone call nobody ever really wants to get from the business that we'd given 18 years to that we were kind of independent business owners of. And they said they were changing it and we lost our income overnight, you know, so 18 years in, a 7-figure income gone overnight. And so I rebranded myself into the financial world because that's something I have a big passion for because of the way that I've always invested my money. And so that's who I am, Paul. We live in Phoenix, Arizona. We absolutely love sports. We love our God. We love our family and our friends. I love the outdoors. I love hunting. Matter of fact, right when you called me, I was looking at picking up a new hunting rifle for my boys. So that's what we were doing. I'm getting ready to go on a couple different bow hunts this year. So I'm just a bow hunting junkie, average guy, messes up a lot as a husband, messes up a lot as a father, but you know, in every single day and morning and night, I just pray and ask God for forgiveness and hopefully he'll forgive me and his grace will be upon me and I can do better the next day. So that's kind of my story.
Well, that was a perfect introduction. And, you know, I met JP through the nutrition company and I was just been inspired by JP and the father I saw. And if you think you're blown as a father, then I can't imagine how the rest of us are doing. So, you know, we learn by our mistakes. It's how it is. That's what father is. And we hope our kids learn from those mistakes so they can even be a better father. And, you know, like I said, JP, you've done a phenomenal job. And so the topic we're talking about today is courage. And what you've been through your whole life, going through the companies that you've been a part of and going through now, you've had to take courage on taking those steps, taking those risks to become successful. You didn't become successful overnight. You had to take those risks. So the first question is, what does courage mean to you?
Well, there's always a good definition. You know, courage is not the, I don't know what it, I guess I'll kind of lose that, but it's really just acting in the presence of fear. You know, acting anyway, you know, you're nervous or you're afraid, just act anyway. And, you know, we live in, and I feel this, and maybe our country's, you know, kind of unstable right now, but we're still, I believe this with all my heart, that we live in the greatest country in the world. We have freedoms that other countries never experience.
Yeah.
And this is a land of opportunity. It's the country where you can get ahead, no matter what your education, your race, your sex, any of that stuff is. You can get ahead and live a better financial life if that's what you want. You know, those kind of things, but you have to be willing to go after it. That's the name of the game. And all work is honorable. All work is honorable. But if all I want to do is be comfortable and complacent, I just get a job. You know, I just get a job and just stay at that job and hope after 30 years, you know, I'm going to have enough in my retirement to live out another 20 years or whatever it may be, whatever, however I choose to live. I just was never wired that way. And you know, a lot of it had to do with getting involved in the company that I got involved in. It stretched you. You really were put in situations where it was either grow or go, meaning you had to rise up to the challenge. And so I'll be honest with you, my last business endeavor was a lot of public speaking. And that's probably one of the number one fears over death in America today. I think that's, you know, a little statistic. Public speaking is the number one fear. And I had succumbed to that. I didn't want to speak in front of groups. I didn't want to present things in front of people, but I wanted to get somewhere in life. I wanted to get and offer my family a little bit better options. I wanted to travel. I wanted to hunt. I wanted to coach my kids. I wanted all that. And it takes courage. You mentioned the word risks, Shane, and you know, anything we do, you got to risk something in order to achieve a little bit more. There's nothing out there that's going to be worth it that doesn't take some risk and can come with some great challenges. And it takes courage to put yourself out there. It takes faith and courage to take a risk. But if you look at all the greatest people in America, whether it's, I'm looking at my guitar sitting in the corner, I play a little bit of guitar here and there. You look at the, you know, some of the greatest country musicians, because I like country music. They had to risk it all. They risked the you know, losing their family, losing their, you know, their stability, their comfortableness to go to Nashville and get turned down by 50 music deals, record deals. And all of a sudden now you got Garth Brooks, one of the number one rated country music stars of all time, singers of all time. You know, so you got to kind of look at that stuff and be inspired by the courage that other people's had. But here's what I found. You know, by speaking in front of people a little bit, I spoke in front of 5, then I spoke in front of 10, then I was speaking in front of, you know, 20 regularly, then I'd speak in front of 100, then I go to a big event and I'd speak in front of 400. Well, at the peak of my business, I spoke at AT&T Stadium where the Dallas Cowboys play, where half of the stadium was filled, spoke on a stage for 40 minutes in front of 25,000 people. You know, that all takes courage. It doesn't just happen overnight. And like you said, success doesn't happen overnight. And I don't see myself as a successful person. I see myself as someone who just wants to grind. It's just, you know, embracing the grind. I've learned that through sports and weight training and hunting, is just getting in the grind of it and never stopping. Cause I'll tell you, at 40 years old, 42 years old, I had a life that was basically retirement. And when you sit back, when people say this all the time, man, if I ever won the lottery, Shane, I'd quit working. Well, we're not wired that way. It sucked. What it did to me is it created a lot of anxiety and a lot of unrest. We're our best when we're grinding. We are our best when we're serving people, and we're our best when we're progressing in whatever it is that we choose to go after. And so all that takes courage, you know, doing what you're doing, Shane, your podcast, it takes courage. I started a podcast based on fitness and hunting, and I'm recording episode 22 here. When I get done with you, I got a guest on. And I had been encouraged to do it for a year, year and a half, 2 years. You know what I kept thinking? Well, nobody's going to want to listen to me. I don't have anything to offer. And finally, I just got to the point. I'm like, well, why wouldn't I have something to offer? I'm going to interview people. It takes courage to put yourself out there, because here's the thing. And you know this, Shane, everything that you choose, it doesn't matter what it is. You could be doing the greatest humanitarian work in the world. Somebody's going to ridicule you. It's the nature of humanity. And so all of it takes courage, even though deep in your heart, you know that you started a podcast and a business to increase and add benefit and blessings to people's lives. Someone's going to ridicule you sooner or later. And it takes courage to say, well, they don't know what I know, because I just believe a champion fights for a dream in their heart that nobody else can see. And I've lived that way. Like, what my vision is and what my vision for my family and my purpose is, nobody else can see that. And so I can't listen to somebody else tell me that it's not worth it or it's not right or they're going to ridicule me. I'm the only one that can see it, and I'm the only one that can put the courage up front to fight for it.
You know, that's well said. And, you know, you really answered a lot of the questions I have for you. So forgive me if I sound like I'm repeating myself, but you're right, because, you know, courage takes so many different forms, and it's different for all of us. And every bit of thing we do as fathers takes courage. And like you said, even doing a podcast takes courage. And courage is not worrying about what others think you're going to do. It's courage is about what you are going to do. We can't let others determine how we use our courage. We ourselves can determine that factor, because us as fathers, we are having courage for our kids. That is one, our family. That is one of our sole purposes. You know, part of who you became and part of what you created for yourself was because you wanted that better life for your family. And so you had to have courage for your family. We had to have courage, so we set the stage for our kids, for our kids after us. And it's important that we know what courage really means. So I guess my question for you is, why do you feel courage is important for a father?
Well, because I think we carry the brunt of the stress. As I would say, it maybe the leader of the family, because that's what we're called to do, is be the leader of the family. And I know every family dynamic is different. You know, my wife does all the bills. My wife runs our family. There's no question about that. But I'm the spiritual leader of our family, number one. I'm the direction setter of our family. I'm the investment go-getter of our family. I'm the guy that chases the opportunities entrepreneurial-wise in our family. It's up to me to model good behavior for my sons. It's up to me to model courage for my sons. And here's what I mean. You know, we're living in this whacked out world. I got to show them courage in the face of uneasy unrest and fear in our society. I got to show them courage of, hey, I'm not going to let fear overcome us. We're not going to, I'm not sharing any kind of political view or anything like that, but I'm not just going to sit in my house with a mask on and be afraid that I'm going to catch something. Because without this whole corona thing, I could get in my car and I could go get in a car accident tomorrow. I can't sit and live in fear. And so it takes courage to lead a family. It takes courage to put yourself out there in the business world or whatever you do. But here's the other thing. It takes courage to love my wife the right way in a whacked out society, because that's modeling love for my daughter. Because here's exactly what's going to happen. My boys are going to be the same kind of fathers that I am. That's typically statistical. You know, statistically, that's what's going to happen. They're going to love their wives the way that they're going to treat women the way that I treat my wife. Now, if you have a daughter, Shane, or I got some buddies that got a daughter that have daughters, and I screw it up, my son screws it up with their daughter, who's to blame? Me. I'm to blame. So there is pressure on us. Now, if my wife marries a stinking goofball who treats her terrible, chances are it's probably because I treat my wife terrible. So I got to wake up every single day, put my feet on the floor and say, you know, the way that I live my life is, God, direct my steps. Let me do it the right way today, not do it the wrong way today. And that takes courage, because I did a podcast last week with a friend of mine, and we talked about, it's easier to be complacent and negative in this world today than it is to be good. And because the negative forces are always pulling against us. You know, it takes courage to be disciplined, get up at 4:15 every morning, 4:45 every morning to go do a 6 a.m. workout, killer workout, and then do another one in the evening, because that's what I do. You know, all those things are, to me, we use the word courage. I'm going to spin it and say just courageous leadership. Is what I would look at it as. Just, I want to lead my family the right way so that when I'm gone, you know, they've carried on the goodness of what we're trying to bring to this short time that we have on earth.
That's incredible. And you brought up a good point about why we need it. We need it to set the stage for our future, so our kids know what to be and look for. for their future life, you know, for your grandkids, for their future. And so having that courage is really what's going to, you know, set the stage, set the foundation, even when the world does not agree. And being spiritual, being religious is difficult in this time, especially with people, like you said, negativity around the world, that it's, you have to have courage to be different from other people. You have to have courage to be different than how people want to act, because people want to conform to society. And you have to have a courage as a father to make sure your family is not going down there, and that you have courage to set your own beliefs so your kids can follow those beliefs and that they can understand why they're doing those beliefs. If you don't have courage, then you can't set the example for your family. Who do you say you look up to most that, you know, in regards to courage? Who do you say that you look up to most in regards to courage?
Well, I would just use my faith there. I would be remiss if I didn't say Jesus, because that's just who I am, Shane. I'd never hold that back. Just look at a guy who walked the same earth that we did, and everybody was against him. I mean, where he lived, everybody was against him because he was different. And, you know, at the end of the day, what did he do? He loved them all. He just loved them, whether they loved him back, whether they were mean or hated him or whatever. He just loved them. And that takes courage. It takes courage not to drop down to their level and want to fight somebody when they don't agree with you, or be offended when somebody doesn't agree with you. You know, I look at Jesus, the greatest leader that ever lived. He was never offended when people spit on him, beat him, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that's who that's it. Here's what I found on the human side of things, Shane. People are going to let us down. You know, our society wants to put sports figures up on a pedestal, and they're just humans. And so every time something happens and somebody gets crushed, like, oh, I can't believe so-and-so did that. That is just unbelievable. I'm like, well, I can believe it because they're human. You know, just like you and I, and we're going to make mistakes, and yep. Hopefully it's a mistake and not bad decisions. So that's just that. That's who I look up to. I do have some great men I surround myself with, and I believe that's absolutely important. We are, you know, ducks of the feather stick together, or whatever they say. That little saying is, you literally are going to be who you surround yourself with. And I surround myself with some very high caliber men that don't let me just be me, meaning if they see me slipping up, they're going to call me out on it. And I love them for it. I don't get offended by it. I don't lash back out at them. If my language slips, or, you know, something, I mean, I'm just throwing examples out there, anything like that, they'll call me out on it, because they always say, you know, best friend just takes you who you are. I don't agree with that. I think your best friend should hold you to a higher standard because they are your best friend. Now, acquaintances will just take you for who you are. That's fine, because they're just acquaintances. They come and go. But when you got somebody who knows you, and you've been open with them and honest with them, you shared your struggles, shared your defeats, shared your victories with them, they should hold you to a higher standard. And so I have people like that in my life. I was just with one of those guys last week for a whole entire week. And we spent a week with our family on vacation. And I leave a better man when I'm around him, because he's a good man, you know, treats his wife the right way, parents his kids the right way, models manhood the right way, all those things. And when you get around and you surround yourself with guys like that, or females like that, again, it's a grow or go. You've got to rise to the occasion or settle back down to mediocrity. And I just, again, I'm not wired for mediocrity. And some people are, and that's totally okay. I love those people too. That's what makes the world a great place, is that there's a place for everybody here. But, you know, just talking to me, I'm not wired that way. That's not how I want to be.
No, and you said it perfect. I mean, the perfect example, as I agree to, is Christ. But you also talked about surrounding yourself with the right people, because people have a tendency to surround themselves who they end up becoming, or who they want to end up becoming. And if you want to become successful, you got to surround yourself with successful. You got to be around people who are going to show the right courage, who are going to have courage, who are going to have courage for the right reasons. There's a difference between having courage and having courage for the right reasons. And it's not just acquaintances you want. You want people that are going to know you and be there for you and call you out. And you have to have courage to accept your fault. A lot of times, too, people don't understand that courage often reflects on accepting that we make mistakes. It's very easy for us to be proud and think we don't do anything wrong, but it takes even more courage to say, you know what? I made a mistake. Let me correct it. Let me become better so I don't make that same mistake again. And I'm the same way. I don't want things to be normal. I want opportunity. I want to do as best as I can and learn as much as I can on this earth. Now, my last question for you, JP, is how can someone improve their courage in this world?
Well, I think a couple things come to mind, Shane, when you ask. I think humility is one. I think a lot of times people look at humility and they almost kind of they kind of confuse it for weakness. I think humility is incredible. I love humility. I love humility on athletes. I love humility on some of the best players. And that takes a lot of courage because in our society today, there's a lot of arrogance. There's a lot of ego. There's a lot of pride. And I think one of the greatest things here's one of the greatest things that takes courage is to be who you are and be okay with it. You are created a special way. Every single individual is created special. Whether I'm 5'8" or I'm 6'2", whether I got black skin or I got white skin, whether I'm highly educated or I'm not so educated, whether I'm a great communicator or I'm not a great communicator, all of those things, you know, a lot of things we can develop better skills in some areas, but the things that I can't change, I'm going to accept. And I'm going to take courage and understand this is how I was created, and He created me for a special purpose, for a special reason. And it takes courage to live that way because, like you said, you used the word conformity a little while ago, Shane. A lot of people just want to conform to who the world wants them to be. Well, I want to be in this world, but I don't want to be of this world. The only thing I'm conforming to is who He made me to be. And when I grasped that long ago, I'll tell you, my wife tells me it all the time. She goes, you know, the one thing I've always loved about you, JP, and I'm just saying this because she told me, I'm not bragging or anything. She goes, you've always been comfortable in who you are. And so she always tells me, she goes, you make other people uncomfortable because you're so comfortable in who you are. And I'm like, well, that's just because that's how I was created. I mean, I wasn't made any other way than just to be the goofball that I am. And if I'm going to talk about hunting, I'm going to talk about hunting. I'm completely unpolitically correct, to be brash, but I do it because I don't know. I'm just not smart enough to realize when I say something, my wife will be like, that's not very politically correct. I'm like, well, I didn't mean anything by it. So if somebody's offended by it, no offense was given. They shouldn't take it. But I think it takes courage to really just be okay with who you are, shortcomings and all. And I got a lot of shortcomings. I'm an impatient guy, you know? And so my wife teases me when we're driving the other day, she's like, man, you get drangry instead of hangry, you know, hungry and angry. When I'm driving, I get angry, like stressed out at my kids. I'm always yelling at them in the back seat. And I'm like, that's because I'm keeping us alive in this car here. You know, as I said, I'm all stressed out there back screaming and throwing stuff around. But, you know, so I got a lot of shortcomings, man. And I got a long way to go to be what I would consider to be, you know, there or arrived. But I just thank God my wife and my kids have grace on me. And we have an amazing family. And the Lord's been good to us. And I wouldn't want it any other way, man.
Well, I'm very glad to know you as a person, and you know, you teach people so many things. You've taught me things on to become a better man and a better father, as I said earlier. And going back to your point about learning and growing, I think we're always going to be growing and learning from mistakes till the day we die, until we leave this earth. And that's okay. If you're not willing to be a lifelong learner, you're not going to be a lifelong grower. And you're going to be part of mediocrity, and you're going to go to work every day and leave it at that. JP, once again, thank you for being on the podcast. You really brought a lot of content to this episode. I think this is one of the most important episodes because fathers need to know, they need to be courageous and need, most importantly, like you are, be themselves. If you can't be yourselves, then what is your purpose in this life? And I thank you for being here. And we're very glad to have you as one of our guests.
Hey, man, I really appreciate it. Shane, I love your content. I've been watching your TikToks on Instagram, and I enjoy every one of them. You bring a lot of value, so continue to do the good work you're doing, buddy, and I appreciate you.
Well, I just want to bring positivity and be like you, just be myself, and, you know, not be afraid of who I am.
Well, God bless you. Thanks for allowing me to come on. I'm very honored.
All right. Well, thank you, JP. Have a blessed day. And everyone, thanks for listening. Stay tuned next week for our next topic. And be sure to listen to us on Spotify and iTunes. And we'll see you later.